Start at 959WATD.com/Monday Night Talk. And don't forget to add hashtag Monday Night Talk to your tweets. We now return to Kevin Tachi and Monday Night Talk.
And we are back. We want to thank again Brock DeMeo, Bill Coppender, for being our guest. It was a good conversation, huh, Joe?
It was. Excellent. It's always interesting to hear what's going on in the city of Brockton.
And just a quick reminder, and that is that August 4th, we will be having that South Shore Mayoral Forum, kind of a little bit of a get-together of the four mayors here in the South Shore, followed by the next succession of evenings, Monday nights, that is, that we will be having conducting forums here on Monday Night Talk. Starting with the Register of Probate on the 11th, 18th will be the 10th Plymouth District, and then the 25th from 6:30 to 7:30 will be the candidates for the 9th Congressional District. Funny I should say that, because in front of me right now is a gentleman who is going to be my guest for the next few minutes, Mr. Mark Allegra, who is joining us. Sir, how are you?
I'm doing fine. Thank you for having me.
Again, he is a candidate for a Republican candidate for the 9th Congressional District. How are things out on the campaign trail?
Things are very good. I'm finding that what I'm saying is resonating with people, and it's sort of just happening. I'm saying what people want to hear and what they would like to have someone say for them.
Now, when you had contacted me, we had a little bit of a mix-up, and I apologize. I want to make sure I said that somewhere we were supposed to have you on, and we didn't connect on. We didn't dot all the I's and cross
all
the
T's. I don't remember any mistakes that you made, Kevin.
You're being way too kind. But the initial thought was you wanted to come on because you had taken a trip down to our border between the United States and Mexico, and wanted to kind of share some of what you had seen and the conversations that you've been having.
Yes, I did. And the timing couldn't have been more perfect. It was at the very end of May, and my colleague from the campaign, Louis Carpenito, made the trip with me. We saw a lot of very interesting things. Some that we expected, but you never appreciate it until you get that perspective of being there on the scene, on the ground.
And it's kind of funny because one of the things that we were actually, during the small break, a little bit of the banter that we accidentally burned, and I hate burning banter, Joe knows that, because usually he scolds me for doing it,
yes,
is that one of the concerns that has become something that's in the news is that, you know, that we have folks who are, you know, illegal aliens, who are supposedly, what, flying up here to find, a home or at least be able to have somewhere to go. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, as we were coming into the studio before, somebody told me that they're coming into Otis Air Force Base even as we speak.
Yeah.
The funny thing is before I went down there, I spoke on the phone to the fellow who was going to be my primary host, a rancher down there near Bisbee, Arizona. And he said, every time our Congress begins to talk about amnesty, the number of people traversing his backyard triples overnight. And that's exactly what happened, only worse this time. It's been a flood.
Is that something that you feel that you'd be able to make any kind of a move or bring forth some legislation? What do you feel needs to be done as far as with when it comes to immigration and what we're doing in regards to folks who are coming into our country? Or maybe people who are still here and are, you know, not legally here.
Yeah, well, there are several solutions, and they're not difficult. It's not rocket science. The first thing you have to do is turn off the benefits spigot, because that's why those people are coming. Again, when they hear that there's going to be amnesty, they know they can get a foot in the door. There's a surge, and that's what happened this time. Second thing you do is you need to institute a well-managed and well-monitored guest worker program that has these people not waiting. I was just speaking to an advisor of ours who was a career State Department fellow. It's like a 10% success rate to get these work visas. You can increase that rate, you can streamline the process, but then you can also monitor the people who come into work so that when it's time for them to leave, they can be invited to go home and reapply for another work visa.
What's the biggest problem with our border? What do you feel is the biggest problem with our border right now? Is it that we don't have enough people manning it? Is it a matter of that we're not doing enough to make sure that folks are
getting here illegally? Both of those, but you want to know what the big problem is dishonesty. Okay. There's no barrier down there. I mean, there are fences, but they're not effective fences, neither structurally nor in the way they're administered. So there's no physical barrier to people coming across, really. Mm-hmm. Nothing that they can't climb over or shoot their drugs over with Tygon tubing slingshots or cut right through in about 15, 20 minutes. So they pour through that border on a regular basis anyway.
Joe? Joe, do you have a question?
Yeah. Do you think, in your in kind of your opinion, and some of the stuff that you've talked to, and in what you talk about on the campaign trail, do you think there's a clear difference between border security and immigration in terms of people coming into the country and the green cards and that type of thing? Do you think they're related or separate issues? Because that is something that I think we may be getting either closer or further away from, which is the discussion of the border security and then the actual people that are in this country and that are immigrating.
Right. So the answer to your question is yes, they are two separate issues. Of course they're linked, but they are two distinct issues. Border security, the idea of keeping people out and keeping drugs out, is more of a physical matter and a policing issue. The immigration issue, well, in a way, that's a policing issue too, isn't it? Because all we have to do is follow our own immigration laws. But again, if you don't provide the incentive for these people to come illegally, I'm not saying they won't come because they always have. There's always been a trickle across the border. But in recent years, that trickle has turned into a flood.
Would it be easier if we just annexed Mexico or something? I mean, what would be the easiest way to remedy this?
I think there are people in Mexico who would like to annex what used to belong to them a number of years ago.
Texas, whatever.
It's crucial that our border remain a viable barrier, because that is, by definition, what sovereignty is all about. It is a border, and at the moment, it's not very much of one.
It wasn't too long ago that Pat Buchanan wanted to basically just close off the United States from the world. Is that something that would you be along the lines of looking at being an isolationist, or just a matter of just making sure that we have a good, solid barrier? Maybe we use some of the drones that we used over in Afghanistan and Iraq and use those for patrol. I mean, would it be something along those lines?
Well, I'm going to answer those are two separate questions. And the first one is, do we isolate ourselves and really limit immigration to a trickle or stop it altogether? The answer is no.
Okay.
This country, as everyone knows, and who I know of no one who will debate against, this country has always been a nation of immigrants.
That's correct.
So we want immigration. We just want legal immigration. Immigration that we can control the flow of and manage. Now, the drones, that's interesting you should mention, because that's one of the other things we learned while we were down there.
Mm.
We have drones down there. We have drones. Do we deploy them? No, we don't. Why don't we deploy them? Because we don't have the money for the parts nor the fuel to deploy them. So they sit in warehouses rusting. Sounds like good management to me.
Joe, questions?
As you've been on the campaign trail in the district, what are some of the biggest issues that you've talked to people about? Not just the usual issues of, what's going on in the district, but what are some of the big federal issues that you've heard of? You're just talking to people.
Since the last time we had you. I'm sure things have changed and your information base has grown.
So that's good. I'm glad you asked that, because the first time I came on here, it was very early in the campaign, and I was doing all of the candidates, the opposition candidates were doing, so to speak, the non-incumbent party, and that is to gripe about the circumstance set up by the incumbent party. Now, goodness knows, there's plenty to gripe about. They give us plenty of fodder. If I were Jay Leno, I don't think the writers for my show could keep up like this administration is feeding fodder to us to complain about. But I learned very quickly on the campaign trail, what's really resonating with people is an underlying understanding that this boils down to our freedoms. Whether we're talking about joblessness, the restrictions of Obamacare, what's happening at the border, what's happening in the schools with Common Core, they boil down to our freedoms. And I learned very quickly, because it occurred to me, I mentioned it, and I saw the look on people's faces. Mm. I'd hit a note square on. People are worried for their freedoms, their American freedoms, and that's the big issue.
I have to ask, do you feel jobs are still a key issue? Because I've noticed more and more over the past month and a half, more for help. Businesses seeking, people to come and work. Is the problem having the proper jobs or having the proper people to fill those jobs?
So I'm not sure what you're asking.
I've been seeing more businesses seeking help.
Yeah. I mean, our unemployment circumstance is still lousy. Our employment circumstance is still lousy. The national unemployment rate is dropping. It's dropped by another almost 0.5% in the past couple of months.
Right.
But everyone who wants to understand that situation truly understands that where the rate is coming down because people are still leaving the workforce at unprecedented rates. Mm. We still have a work participation rate that's almost at historic lows. So the rate is almost not even a viable statistic anymore.
Are you feeling good about the midterm elections here? Do you feel that there's a good chance that whoever gets the Republican nomination could have a chance to unseat the incumbent this November?
Yeah, I can't speak for the others. I can speak for myself. I feel that if I win this primary, that it's going to be a very interesting race that's a challenge to everyone, and I do mean everyone, incumbent and challenger.
Okay, we're speaking with Mark Allegro. He is our guest for this segment. He's running for the Massachusetts 9th Congressional District. Have you had a chance to mix it up or be part of straw polls? What's going on out there as far as you being able to go head to head and at least talk about the issues with with folks?
We've had 4 straw polls so far. The most recent was this past Friday night, and I think it was fairly reflective of how it's been going from the beginning. We had 67% of the vote. The other 3 candidates shared what was remaining. So we're performing very well, and like I said, we're really striking a chord with people. They're liking it.
I guess I would also ask, how about as far as endorsements? I know one of the key endorsements that I saw was a gentleman who's on here on a regular basis, State Representative Jeff Deal. I might add, and you and I talked about it, we burned a little bit more banter. We shouldn't have. Mm-hmm. Guy's one heck of a softball player. You admitted that you're a pretty darn good softball player yourself, but the original question, you've been receiving endorsements. One of them was from a hard work guy like State Rep Jeff Deal.
Yeah, and that came right out. First of all, that was real pleasing to get because Jeff is a straight shooting guy. He cares more about representing his constituents than he does about the other things that politicians are often worried about. Mm-hmm. That came right on the heels of another very gratifying endorsement, and that one was from Texas Congressman Lamar Smith. This is unusual for 2 reasons. Number one is it's highly remarkable for a sitting congressman to give their endorsement to a candidate who's involved in a primary. That's number one. Now, what's great about this is a couple of things. Number one, Mr. Smith is ranked as one of the 100 most powerful men in Washington, D.C. And he's powerful because he's the chairman of the House Science, Space, and Technology Committee. That's the committee that oversees the EPA, for all of our friends out there who love that agency, NASA, NSF, National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, National Marine Fisheries, Department of Energy, and a variety of others. And every time I don't do this, people poke me in the ribs and say, go ahead and toot your own horn. And so I'm going to do that now. Mr. Smith has said publicly, I want Allegro on the Science, Space, and Technology Committee. Win the election, and you're going to be on that committee. And that's remarkable for that opportunity to exist for a freshman congressman. I'm tickled pink about that one. I'm looking forward to joining Mr. Smith. He's a great guy.
We got just a couple of minutes left here. Like I told you, blink of an eye, time goes.
Mm-hmm.
Anything we haven't talked about that you want to at least dedicate a moment or two to talking to while you're here?
Sure. Well, first let me give a quick plug for, and this is related to the border issue,
mm-hmm.
on August 1st, Friday night at 6:30 in the Falmouth Public Library, we're going to have a public forum addressing the border and immigration issue, and there we will have, in addition to myself and Lewis describing what we saw and learned, we'll have a panel of experts from the state and INS, or former, I should say. They're not current, they're career guys. We moved on to a different phase in the campaign. We're trying to focus on initiatives, on solutions, not just on griping. Right. We have an initiative to address the scourge of Alzheimer's in this country with a series of regional, comprehensive care and treatment centers. And lastly, a ninth district business council, which we're forming. And I would encourage people to visit our website. In the next few days, we'll have an application page up.
Now, see, that was a nice segue because I was just the next
question. And what is that web page?
Your website, social media, anything that will get folks information about your campaign.
Yeah, please visit us. In fact, I would encourage everyone to visit all four candidates' webpages. MarkAllegraForCongress.org. And from there, you can link to our Facebook page. That's all I can say, MarkAllegraForCongress.org. Positions, solutions, and a little bit of common sense thrown in.
Well, that's pretty good.
Hey, you like that? Am I hired?
Well, the voters of the 9th Congressional
Committee. I heard Rossi was on his way out. I don't know.
There were rumors of that at one time.
There were indeed. Mark, I want to thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you, Ken.
And we'll look forward to seeing you on August 25th when we do our political forum here on that Monday night from 6:30 to 7:30.
I'll be here. Thank you.
All right. We'll step aside. And when we come back, more Monday Night Talk. Do not go anywhere.
Is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi, on 95.9 WATD.